Aloha everybody and welcome to the NA Fundamentals Workshop of WCNA 31. My name is Faye and I'm an addict. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I've asked Vicky to read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program.
Hi, my name is Vicky and I'm an addict. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship of or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thank you. And I've asked Becky to read Why Are We Here?
Hi, my name is Becky. I'm an addict. Why are we here? Before coming to the Fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cutting enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point and recovery is then possible.
Thanks, Becky. Sorry, I'm just reading the format for the first time, and it's very short. Not something that I'm used to. Okay, and then at this time... And at this time, I'd like to introduce our speaker. She's a very wonderful, beautiful woman who I have been very, very fortunate to know and have been very blessed to have in my life. And that's Anne.
Good evening, everyone. I'm an addict. My name is Ann. First of all, thank you for letting me be of service here. It's such an honor. I was called by World about a month and a half ago, and they were looking for an Ann Tanaka, and I haven't been an Ann Tanaka for 4 years now. So when I got the message, I was like, you know, it's like I'm thinking that the past is creeping in on me again. And anyway, I was asked to share a certain way. When I had a year clean, I was asked to share at this meeting where there were a lot of gurus in our fellowship. And so I asked my higher power that day, what kind of message would I have that I could share at this meeting? And my higher power told me, well, let's look at some of the stuff that I used and continue to use in my recovery. But before I go into that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I started using in my late 20s. I got clean in my mid-30s, and now I've been clean for a little over 11 years. Thank you. I look into the audience, and I see a lot of people that have come before me that have helped me stay clean, and I am so very, very grateful for your support and your continued support in my life. And it's changed my life drastically. I have my sponsor, my first sponsor for many, many years sitting in the room. I have my current sponsor sitting in the room, and I have many, many sponsees sitting in the room as well. So this is a great time for me to express to you what it is I learned here in these rooms. Excuse me. First of all, I came to Narcotics Anonymous by the court system. I didn't think I had a drug problem, but everybody around me thought I did. And so I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous very unwilling. I came into the rooms sitting in the back row, waiting to get my paper signed so I could prove to the courts that I'd been going to these 12-step meetings. And what happened for me is by sitting in the back, I never gave the opportunity or gave myself the opportunity to know what it is we do here. I went to one treatment facility. I got kicked out of that. I was court ordered to go to another one, either that or go to jail. And I didn't want to go to jail in my late 30s. And so I was thinking to myself, well, you're not really jail material. And so, so that was the start of it. But by the time I went to that second treatment facility, something changed. There's a light bulb that went in me that made that decision for me to change my life. And then the opportunity for growth started. I was able to hear what it is you were saying here. So anyway, I went to this meeting at a year clean, and I packed my bag full of goodies, and I said, I'm going to do this show-and-tell deal, right? You know, it's like, I'm unique, I'm original, you know, it's only one of a kind. So anyway, I packed this bag of goodies, and the goodies are things that I use in my recovery, that we're taught to use in our recovery, and it's like easy stuff. You know, it starts off, first of all, I go to meetings. And the first thing that I need to know is what meetings there are around in my area. So I pick up all the literature I can get, and I find out who you are, what you do, and how you can help me. So I start off with literature. And what I did was, in the first 2 years of my recovery, I went to a meeting probably every day for the first 2 years of my recovery. So I pick up literature. Second of all, you know, I walk into the meeting, and there's these 12 steps and 12 traditions, and I'm like, okay, you know, and then we talk about a sponsor, and it took me a while to figure out, you know, about this sponsor deal, what the sponsor does for us in recovery, or how they help us, and how they help us to grow. So what I did was, I listened, and I was told that if I could connect with one woman in the room, that I would be okay, one woman that I could start to trust. And so what I did was I listened, and I found someone that maybe, just maybe, would be on the same, you know, could be on the same wavelength. And so what I did was I asked her to sponsor me, and she was my sponsor for many, many, many years, and I'm so grateful that you're here to support me tonight. She set me on some things to do. The first step was that I needed to get a journal. So what I did was I brought my journal with my first set of steps that I did, and I started working step one. And her instructions to me was that I needed to know what every word meant in step one. So she asked me to get a dictionary. So what I did was I got a dictionary, wrong dictionary. I didn't bring a dictionary. Anyway, pretend this is a dictionary. I bought the biggest dictionary I could find because I needed to know exactly what the step meant. And so what I did was how I worked step one was I had to get the definition of every single word in there. And when I shared the step, because back 11 years ago, there was no It Works How and Why workbook. We worked it, you know, how her sponsor taught her and et cetera, et cetera. So what I did was I worked step one that way. And I got an understanding of that, and that really, really helped me. You know, the toughest thing, I think, when I first came into the room is that I was instructed that I needed to connect with other women. And that was the most difficult thing because coming from a place of no to low self-esteem, it was difficult. It was like if I asked someone for their number, a woman for their number, I would always deep inside feel that if they said no, you know, I'd like crawl up into myself and disappear. So that was the first thing I did was I was instructed to get names and numbers. And so what I did was I got myself an address book, and I got myself a pen to write those names in that address book. And, you know, this is a big step, but the bigger step beyond that is that I needed to telephone those women. So what I did was I had to pick up the telephone and call people. So that's what I did. You know, we have a wonderful world of technology today. So not only do we have landlines, we have PDAs and telephones, and unfortunately I couldn't bring my laptop tonight, but you know, we have a variety of ways to communicate to anybody. You know, in sponsorship, the best way and the most direct way is via telephone and direct line immediately. You know, we do this email stuff and it gets real impersonal and it stays impersonal, and I really like the direct contact. Anyway, that's what they taught us to do, is to pick up the phone and call someone when things, whatever was happening with you. You know, I'm almost 50, and you know, when I was somewhere around 41, I kind of lost my eyesight, you know, and so what it is, you know, I had to get glasses, and I'm a, you know, I hate to say, but you know, I'm a vain woman, you know, and so it was difficult for me to get glasses, you know, and I still have a tough time using glasses, but, you know, through recovery, I found out that it's better to read than not read, and it's better to read close than, like, on the ground, you know, so, but anyway, so, you know, those are some of the things that I learned. I was also asked to pick up literature, and by that I mean Narcotics Anonymous has given us great, great literature. So my first book that I worked out of was from Our Basic Text. And Our Basic Text is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I think the first thing that really, really attracted me to this book is in our preface. And I just want to read this to you because, you know, a lot of us, I don't know about you, but if I read a regular book, the preface is usually the first place I skip. I just move to chapter one. But the last paragraph of the basic test, the preface of the basic test states, "Therefore, with gratitude in our recovery, we dedicate our NA book to the loving service of our higher power, that through the development of a conscious contact with God, No addict seeking recovery need die without a chance to find a better way of life. And that's the one paragraph that really attracted me to read the basic text.
Then we had a second book come out,
and it was called It Works How and Why, and which is another wonderful book, you know, and this allowed me to work several other steps through this book. And, you know, I just can't tell you enough that this book supplemented our basic text. And then when the workbook came out, which I don't have because it's been given to other people, it was a wonderful aid in helping not only myself but other, you know, other women and other people in the fellowship to learn about, you know, to develop a greater understanding of what this disease is about and how it affects us and how we do recover. We also, you know, I was fortunate to get some literature, and I was given this book this weekend on sponsorship. This is our latest book. And I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I will. So we have, you know, we have a great abundance of literature. And I have to tell you that, you know, I brought several journals. You know, I have my work stepping journal, and I have my, you know, more work stepping journals. And then, you know, then further on in recovery, I was asked to do a daily journal. And, you know, I brought my daily journal from 1997. And how I did 1997, every day that I wrote in my journal, I started off with Dear God. And the second line of that Dear God was always, this is Ann again. You know, and, you know, in looking back in my journal, a lot of times it was days of wah-wah days, you know, wah this and wah that, and my life isn't like that today, you know. It's changed a lot, and so I get to reflect back on what my thinking was and how, you know, how I thought, how I behaved and reflect on how I am today. And it's just incredible that a lot of these feelings and a lot of these thoughts no longer exist in my life today. You know, they're just, that's the way it was then. So I get to reflect back. I like looking back through my journals and reflecting all the struggles I had back then, you know, and a lot of my struggles back then was about relationships. And, you know, it's through the 12 steps that I gain a greater understanding of the relationships I have, especially with myself, with a power greater than myself, and with you. And it's been my, you know, a great learning experience for me. And through this process of recovery, we do become productive members of society. And through that, what I mean is we start to get employed. You know, we start having relationships with our families, our friends, and our higher power. And by doing all that and becoming productive members of society, we get to do things like come to world conventions, to be of service to others. And you know, I've had the greatest opportunity to have attended 4 world conventions of Narcotics Anonymous. My first was in St. Louis, Missouri, which was really far from Hawaii for me. It was a very good experience. And then a few years after that, I got to experience San Jose and the recovery that was happening there. And it was so incredible because, you know, we have a small fellowship here in Hawaii, and to see 30,000 addicts in one location was incredible. And then the next one was 2 years ago in San Diego. And through this process, about 7 years clean, I ran into a brick wall here in the rooms. And so what I did was I left the fellowship, you know, and I got married back then, and life was good. And then I went to San Diego, and I met all my girlfriends there from around the world. And the last night we were there, you know, they sat me down and they said, "What are you doing?" You know, and you know, Wouldn't you like your life to get more incredible than it is? And it was that spark that I remember, that I know that my life had become so incredible in the first 7 years that I was there, that why wouldn't I want to continue this journey and make my life even more incredible? And so I made a commitment to them at that very table that I would come back to Hawaii and I would do those necessary steps to continue my journey in recovery. And so when I got back, I got a sponsor that was on island because for many years I had a sponsor that was somewhere else. And, you know, I wasn't doing anything bad, being this long distance thing. It was just kind of safe for me. For some odd reason, it felt safe that, you know, she wasn't there when I turned around or, you know, I don't know what it was. But this time, I felt it important that I needed someone here on island. And I made that commitment. I made the commitment to go to at least one meeting a week, and I did that commitment. I still continue it. I attend a women's meeting every Wednesday night here. The great joy I have is about helping that woman coming in the meeting, that newcomer woman coming in the meeting, knowing how she feels, because I know what it's like coming in. And, you know, it's important for me to give that newcomer a great big hug, you know, and to welcome them. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, like a lot of meetings I used to go to, you know, when the newcomer comes in, we're sometimes so displaced and we go and talk to our friends and, you know, we're doing all this stuff. But, you know, I have to remember that that's our primary purpose is to help the addict who still suffers. And it's you know, great importance for me to do that. So I do a women's meeting. So, you know, I see, you know, I attend certain functions around and I don't know a lot of people anymore in our own fellowship because I just do this one women's meeting. And so I have to ask people, who's that? You know, who's that? And then they tell me, oh, well, they go to this meeting or that meeting. And you know, these are people with some you know, some years, you know, they, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. But because I attend this one meeting, that kind of stunts my getting to know a lot of people around. So, but anyway, and through this process, you know, through these processes, you know, we get to get key tags. You know, we get to do that one day key tag, that just for today key tag, and we get to 30, the 60, the 90. And then we start getting these medallions. And I'm a firm believer of passing our medallions to the next person. You know, and the ones I've kept, like here in Hawaii at one time we had this whole thing about having the medallions engraved by our home group so they would engrave our name and our clean date. And those are the only ones that I've kept. So all, you know, like 1 through 9 are all gone. They've been passed on to other people. And that's the real constant joy to me because I know that somewhere down the line I've given a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, and all the way to a 10. And it brings me great joy that I get to see people in their recovery, you know, gaining some time and more recovery. You know, and we have our Just for Today book. Our women's meeting is a Just for Today meeting. And we read the passage and we, you know, we talk about the Just for Today. And, you know, I have a sponsee that call and say, did you read your Just for Today? You know, every day it's like, did you read your Just for Today? And I said, no, did you? But I have it boot up on my computer every morning. You know, we're so fortunate in the technology that we have today and that we have all these tools. You know, we have this, we have CDs, we can load in a computer, we can do all kinds of stuff, we can do our, you know, we can do our 1, 2, 3, 4 step from our work stepping guide on disk. It's just incredible, the amount of things we can do. And then through all this, you know, I get to gain a greater understanding. I get to experience with you things that I've done with you. You know, I get to have photographs today, you know, of memories that I've spent with you along my journey, you know, and I really, really am so happy in the journey I've taken. My life through all of this has become so incredible. You know, I had a couple of relationships in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. There were a few issues that I hadn't tackled while I was here, so the relationship didn't quite work. But it was still their fault. No. Just joking. But so, you know, through the steps, I was able to tackle a lot of those issues. You know, a lot of them were my trust issues. Still feeling insecure in some areas. And then what I did was I thought to myself, maybe I could search for a partner somewhere else. And I did. You know, I have internet wonder story. I'm one of those internet persons who has a very successful relationship. And I'm married to a man that's loving and caring and balanced. And, you know, when we first started dating, you know, I had to ask the main question, do you drink? You know, I knew he didn't do drugs, but do you drink? And if you do, how much? You know, and he said, you know, we were talking. I told him, well, I belong to this fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, it was a red flag for him. And why it was a red flag is because he experienced a friend who went to a 12-step program who replaced the addiction with Narcotics Anonymous. And it didn't look healthy in his eyes, you know, because we do, you know, when we get clean, you know, everything goes into our recovery, everything. You know, go to a meeting every day, call your sponsor every day, you know, read Just for Today, call another woman every day. And so he asked me a big question that was important to him was, where was I in my recovery? You know, like, was I 1 year, 2 year? Was I still going to meetings every night? You know, and what he didn't, you know, he set boundaries in his life, like what he wanted and what he didn't want. Excuse me. And that was close to my seventh year. So I was, you know, I was just doing a big service commitment. I was ending a service commitment. And he saw me helping the addict who still suffers. And you know, it was at that time that I kind of phased out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for a bit. And, you know, when I came back from San Diego, you know, he had the opportunity to join us in San Diego. And, you know, he still, as a normal person, thinks that, you know, all of us have quit drugs for a while, you know, and that we should probably move on. You know, that we're not doing that stuff anymore. But you know what? His thoughts are his thoughts. He allows me, or, you know, he allows me to do what's necessary for me to stay healthy. So, you know, I have a house full of friends here, and he knows that for 2 years now I've been planning this, you know, journey, this hosting deal. And last week, Thursday, before we went to bed, he kissed me and he said, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So, you know, and he welcomes my friends into my home, into our home. And he sees the amount of love that we have here. He you know, my journals are left open at home, and he's not once had any desire to read about my past, because for him it's important on how we do our present, you know. And early on in our relationship, through all this, you know, doing all this work and working on self and continue to gain that high relationship with that higher power, you know, he gets to experience a wonderful woman I've become today, you know. He always tells me, oh boy, I don't believe you went to jail, you know, or I don't believe you stole, because, you know, I'm Asian, I'm a white collar thief, you know. And so, you know, he's like, oh, I don't believe you had a record, I don't believe you had run 5 years of probation, And so he's not interested in my past. You know, he's not interested in who I was with in the rooms or who I wasn't in the rooms with, or he's not interested in any of that. He's interested, you know, in his wife being able to stay healthy physically, mentally, and spiritually. And, you know, he sees a lot of us. You know, he's in our relationship, he's reminded constantly that Anne will go this way and she'll go that way and I'll talk to her when she's here, you know. So he lets me do that for a little bit, and when I get there, it's like, okay, let's talk, you know. And he teaches me about love and about patience and about understanding, and that I don't need to go crazy over a lot of things that, you know, that aren't important, you know. And you know, as much as those control issues that I've worked in my steps, it's still evident today that I have a defect of character in that area. My friends know it, you know. And what he does is he tells me that I to slow down, to take a deep breath, to talk to a God of my understanding, and to call my sponsor. And you know, he just kicks back and just loves me for who I am. So these are the things, the simple things that we use in our recovery. I use them every day, especially the telephone, and it's a constant reminder what I need to do to continue to have a wonderful life. You know, I practice the principles as best I can in all our affairs, and the more I work a step, the greater understanding I have of the principle involved in the step. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey, and I continue to do this journey, because if my life is so good today, you know, it can only get, like, phenomenal, you know, tomorrow. And as long as I continue to do the footwork, then I'll have a greater understanding of what my God wants me to do today. I want to talk a little bit, you know, about having this journey here. You know, my mom passed away almost 2 years ago. And she was sick for many, many, many years. And what happened was, by staying clean and working the principles in my life, I was able to care for her in the last few years of her life. And, you know, going from the daughter of being cared for to the daughter of caring for, you know, for her mom, was phenomenal for her. You know, so I had the great opportunity to help her through her transition to another life. And you know, through that time, you know, it was a difficult time. You know, she passed on virtually in my arms, and it was only through the 12 steps and the principles behind these that I could deal with that, because I knew what to do: call people, tell them what I was feeling, how I was, you know, what was happening. And from time to time, you know, I'll call someone and I'll tell them, you know, I'm feeling lonely. You know, I miss my mom. You know, I don't have a parent today. They're both gone. And I just, you know, sometimes I miss her. But anyway, so these are the things that make my recovery rock. And it continues to rock every day. I have special people in my life today. And I just want to grow here, and this is what it's all about. So this is the fundamentals that I use in staying clean and getting a better understanding of everything involved. So thank you for letting me share.
Let's thank Anne for sharing. And I have asked Susan to read just for today.
Do you have it up here? I'm Susan, I'm an addict.
That's okay.
Just for today, tell yourself, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people are not using and have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear, just for today.
Okay, let's make a circle around the room and close the meeting with the third step prayer.
Yeah.